Today, Sayadawji will start to speak about Satipatthana. Those who are practicing Satipatthana need to understand what this means. Satipatthana is made up of two words, sati and patthana. And patthana also is made up, it has two parts, a prefix, pa, and then the word tana. So Sayadawji will explain the meaning of the word satipatthana in terms of etymology, in terms of how the word is derived. Sayadawji also will explain why the Buddha used the word satipatthana instead of merely saying sati. He'll speak about what meaning this reveals. And so he will explain the theory, what the theory is, and also what the practice is. And he will also explain what are these four grounds for our awareness, these four foundations of mindfulness. So for those who practice Satipatthana, so that they will be enthusiastic for generating enthusiasm, the Buddha explained that there are seven benefits that we gain by practicing Satipatthana. And this is worth noting. When the Buddha preached, he usually would explain what the benefits were of the Dhamma that he was going to teach so that people would be interested. Therefore, Sayadawji has a responsibility to explain this. This path, this method of practice is called ekayana. That means the Buddha used the term ekayana, which means the one and only way to describe this method. Some in the West especially don't like the idea that this is the one and only way to get seven benefits. But whether we like it or not, Sayadawji needs to explain it in terms of what is really there in the scriptures. Among the seven benefits that the Buddha described, the first one is what is essential and fundamental. And this is visuddhiya. That means that the first benefit is freedom from mental defilements. Beings don't know, for the most part, that they need to have sati. And without sati, when one sees something attractive, then raga, lust, will arise. And it will arise first a little, and it may become greater, and then when we finally it becomes excessive and one follows, gives in to one's lust, then one transgresses. And without sati, then when one sees something disgusting or despicable, then one will feel some dislike and resentment, anger. So it will grow and grow, hatred. And finally, if we give in to that, it'll become there will be transgression. And when we don't know things as they really are, and we don't know whether something is beneficial or not, because of that, people do things that are unbeneficial or not suitable. And doing so, they harm themselves and others. Raga, dosa, and moha, or lust, anger, and delusion, are dhammas which give beings trouble. All of our suffering has these three at its root. All our suffering comes from these three things. Most people don't know this. In the text, it is said that sakala middang satanang vota dukang kilesa mulakang. So this means that First of all, the word satanang means beings, all things that are alive. That means animals, humans, whatever being is alive. For all of us, sakalamidang dukang, this, all of the suffering we encounter, 100% of the suffering that we encounter is kilesa mulakang. It has raga, dosa, moha, that is lust, anger, and delusion as its root, its source. That means that whatever suffering we encounter, it is due to these kilesas. This is what is said in the text. Beings are afraid of suffering. They don't like it, dukkha patikula. And they want happiness, sukha kama. But they don't search for the cause of suffering. So they're afraid of it, but don't search for its cause. They just want to be free of it. But they don't seek the method for eliminating the cause of suffering. Not knowing suffering, this suffering we experience occurs again and again. And not knowing its cause, the cause of it is always, not knowing its cause, suffering is always increasing day by day, and its cause is always increasing day by day. So as a result, the world is completely messed up in problems these days, and they are very difficult to solve. Beings don't know the method for controlling the grossest level of kilesas, and they don't know the method for preventing and curing the kilesas that do arise in the mind, and they don't know the method for uprooting the kilesas finally. So not knowing this, one creates our own suffering. Kilesa namete pavuti dukkha. So kilesas are something that are suffering when they occur. When we see something attractive, then we tend to want it. And this causes raga. Raga arises in our mind, and we burn with this raga or lust. And going after the things that we want, many transgressions can occur, especially in the area of sexual misconduct. Dissatisfaction based on anger, dissatisfaction also causes many, many problems in the world. And further, without any cause, there are a lot of senseless killings that happen. People just pick up a weapon and kill. All this happens because of anger and lust, lobha and dosa. And when the kilesas happen in our minds, they are suffering themselves. And not knowing how to avoid performing kilesas on the grossest level, not knowing how to prevent and cure them should they arise, not knowing how to uproot the kilesas finally, then one is always oppressed by them. And not only while they happen are they suffering, but the transgressions that we perform will lead us to suffer revenge. So one suffers as a result of one's misdeeds. So one suffers also knowing that one has done wrong. Therefore, it stands to reason that when we know a method for avoiding the gross forms of kilesas, and we know a method for suppressing, for preventing and curing them, and if we know a method for uprooting them, then we will become happy. We will learn to live happily. Sayadawji would like to mention a story, something that happened when he was teaching in the desert nearby Los Angeles about 20 years ago. And America was compared to the Deva realms. Sayadawji asked the yogis why America is like a Deva realm. And of course, it seems like it is because we have food, all sorts of types of food, and people are well-to-do, and you just push a button and you can get what you want. You know, things. There's a lot of conveniences that make it seem like a Deva realm. But one yogi replied that we're living in an air-conditioned room, but our hearts are burning. And Sayadawji understood what she meant. And that those who have come to practice here, however, he doesn't think they're in this situation of having burning hearts. Or at least if they are, they are using the method for cooling their hearts off. Raga, or lust, is something which grabs on to an attractive object. And then one is only satisfied if I get that object. And not only objects, raga or lust grabs onto life too, desires life. And then there's dissatisfaction and anger with things. And also one doesn't know what is beneficial or not, what is suitable or not. The Buddha said that these three fires are burning. The fire of raga, lust, ragegi, the fire of anger, dosegi, the fire of delusion, mohegi. These are burning, and they're not just contained in a specific place like in a stove or an oven. They're burning all over. And fire is something to fear. It's something we fear. And with regard to fire, first of all, we need to take precautions in advance before it breaks out. And if it does break out, we need to stop it quickly. And if we don't know how to prevent fire, we need to approach someone who knows how to do it so that we can learn. If we don't take any precautions at all with regard to the fires of lust, anger, and delusion, then one will just be consumed with these fires, and one's life will be totally wasted. So because of that, the Buddha described seven benefits at the start of the Sutta on Satipatthana, to generate enthusiasm in those who are practicing Satipatthana. He described there are seven benefits, and the first one, the essential one, ekayano bekawe eyang mego satanang visudhya yadidang chataro Satipatthana. So the Buddha said that this path is for the purification of beings. Purifying, becoming pure, our status will be elevated, our lives will be improved. They won't go down. This path of observing every arising object, starting with the rising and the falling, this path is the one and only path. Ekayano mego. This path is the one and only path for this purification. There's no point at which it divides into two paths. And there's no other path. This is the one and only path for purification of beings. And this is what the Buddha declared in a bold way. He guaranteed this. And this path, the Buddha said, yadidang chataro Satipatthana. This path is the four foundations of mindfulness. That is, whatever physical movement, whatever physical action occurs, starting with the rising and the falling, we observe it. This is kaya nupassana satipatthana. this is our basic object. And as we're doing so, there may be aching, numbness, tingling, sensations, feelings, good and bad, good or bad. These also we observe when they arise as they are. This is Vedana Nupassana Satipatthana. And then there's various thinking, planning, reflecting. The mind becomes separated from the object, and there's no more control of sati. Our eyes look over here, look all over here and there. And at that point, the mind is lacking mindfulness. And when we meet up with something that is attractive, then lust arises. If we see something that is dissatisfying, then dissatisfaction, anger arises. So the unclean mind is what happens mostly. But whether good or bad, these forms of consciousness that arise, we have to note them. And when we note them, the mind becomes clean. Then there are the general acts that we do, seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching. And these are the what general, various, or dhammas. This is observing these when they happen is dhamma nupassana satipatthana. So these are the large fields of observation, these four things, the body, kaya, feelings, the mind, and dhammas. They're the four large fields of observation for us, and in these fields of observation, there are little objects arising anew all the time. And this is what we observe. So these observing these four is what the Buddhists called ekayano mego, the only path, the one and only path for the purification of beings. And this is the essence of the practice. All the Buddhas who have arisen in the world, including the last one, the Buddha Gautama, followed this path of satipatthana, observing the arising object, developing vipassana knowledge stage by stage, developing the four noble paths with the path of arahantship finally arising, bringing about the uprooting of all the kilesas which had been following them throughout their lifetimes. And so the Buddha had no greed or lust whenever he saw something attractive that could incite in otherwise. And he had no anger, no matter how hateful or despicable an object was. And there was nothing he didn't know. He had no ignorance, no knowing things in the wrong way. The Buddha himself followed along this path of satipatthana. It's a very grand and broad path. The silent Buddhas also, Pacheka Buddhas, they also have traveled along this path. All of the enlightened ones, all the disciples of the Buddha, the great disciples, all the beings who have become enlightened as Sotapannas, Sakadagamis, Anagamis, or Arahants, they have all followed this path and become pure. They've gained mental purity. The root of lobha, dosa, and moha is cut off by this path. If we have anger, then it follows that there will be sorrow about the things that we dislike and lamentation about these. And of course, we may experience pain. But with the practice, we can stand pain. We're able to bear it. With the practice, we're able to bear mental pain. Beings in the world encounter suffering. So we are bound to encounter suffering as long as the roots are there. There's the forerunner path of the practice, and then the noble path that arises, and finally there's fruition. So the Buddha followed this path and gained complete purity of mind. And of all the seven benefits that are described by the Buddha, the first one, purity of mind, is the one that is fundamental. Those who have become free of the root of all suffering, lobha and dosa, and moha, they have to follow this path. They must have followed this path if they have become free. And those who want to become free, they must follow this path. One can't bypass it. This is the most important path for everyone, especially for everyone who wants to live a life that is high level, to have wholesome, clean mental, physical, and verbal behavior. In countries that are industrialized or that are scientifically advanced, there are lots of factories. And factories tend to, maybe they burn things and then smoke comes out of these factories. And so if one has to breathe the air that these factories expel, then one will feel very bad physically. One won't, one's head might ache, muscles ache. This air that is, polluted air that is generated by some factories is very bad for us. And it's very important for us to breathe fresh air. So the practice is like this too. Sometimes people don't know the practice, so of course they don't do it. They don't know how to develop sati. Or people know about it but don't do it or don't do it very much. And when we live without sati, it's like breathing in polluted air. Only we're breathing in the kilesas of lobha, dosa, and moha, of greed, hatred, and delusion. When we let ourselves live like that, just breathing in these, as though we're breathing in bad air, the mind won't be pure. And because the mind is not clean and pure, our body will be badly affected too. Our bodies won't be clean. So, regarding real air, real fresh air, it's very important to seek out fresh air and to breathe it. Although fresh air is free, it's very valuable. So people, regarding the practice, the practice is also, sati is very important for us. But people don't apply it. And not applying sati, then they breathe in the kilesas of lobha, dosa, and moha, and they don't feel well. So just as one needs to seek out fresh air in the real world and breathe it, we also need to practice. As far as fresh air is concerned, breathing fresh air is one of the most important things we can do. What are the hallmarks, what are the characteristics of something that is extremely important? The first characteristic is that it is something that must be done. So fresh air, we have to breathe it. We can't not breathe it. It must be done. And the second characteristic is it has to be done by ourselves. No one can breathe air for us. We have to breathe it ourselves. And thirdly, it has to be done in time and regularly. It has to be done in time and on time. So just like we have to breathe in a regular manner So too with the practice, we need to breathe. Just like we need to breathe regularly, we also need to keep on breathing so that we don't die. And also, the last characteristic of something that is very important for us to do is that it brings a lot of benefit. So this is true of breathing fresh air. These four characteristics are true. And when one breathes in fresh air, it's extremely beneficial because every time we breathe, every second that we breathe in fresh air, it is benefiting our body. So all important things that we need to do in life have these four characteristics. They must be done. We must do them ourselves. It has to be done on time and in time. And it brings a lot of benefit. The practice of Satipatthana also has these four characteristics. And just compare for yourself and see. Yesterday, as Sayadawji explained, when we apply ardent effort to observe the arising object, and when we do that enough, there's mindfulness on the object and the mind becomes collected, then the factors of the samadhi group of the path are present. The mind that is led by effort, virya, sati, mindfulness and samadhi, collectedness, is there. Therefore, there's no room for greed to take over. There's no room for anger to take over. So sati, virya, sati, samadhi takes the place of these kilesas. Sati prevents kilesas from entering the mind, and it keeps them out, blocks them. This creates security and freedom. So when the mind is collected on the object because of the protection of sati, then there's no desire to see good things, hear good things, smell, taste, touch good things. There's no sense desire arising in the mind. This is mental purity. There's no movement of the mind due to the kilesas. So therefore, it's peaceful and quiet. If a kilesa happens to arise, one knows it immediately and dispels it by observing. So this is, in practical terms, this is the path for the purification of the mind. The mind at this time meets the object exactly. It comes face to face and is concurrent with the object. Because of the accurate aim, the mind is fresh and blossoms. It's not shrunken and withered. The mind falls on the object. It falls on the rising. And one knows stiffness or tension, some of the characteristics that are there. This is knowing correctly. So in this, there's the wisdom group of the path. Right application of the mind and right knowing. This dispels the potential kilesas, the latent kilesas. It cuts off the root. And what that means is that there's no ground for the kilesas to arise at that moment. So when we are noting like this, the three factors of the samadhi khanda, the samadhi group of the path, and the two factors of the panya khanda, the wisdom group of the path, are involved. This is because of making effort and applying accurate aim so that sati, samadhi, and panya can arise. If there's no effort to observe the arising object, if there's no aim If one doesn't apply aiming, or if the aiming is not accurate, sati will not develop. Without sati, there will not be samadhi. Without samadhi, there won't be any knowledge. So at that moment, we lose. So when one mustn't take any moment lightly. Whenever we take things lightly, there's a loss of sati and a loss of the potential value. When we are careful, meticulous in our practice, in that moment, then we have a profit. For those who have come here to practice, if we can try to develop the three factors of the samadhi khanda and the two factors of the panya khanda so that they are present in each moment, then one will possess the purity of mind in that second, as promised by the Buddha. If one is careless, then in 1 second, that's one moment of loss. And in 1 minute, there are 60 moments in which one loses this the purity of mind. And in 1 hour, 3,600 moments of loss. So Seyadoji urges all of us to become a true yogi and to practice, make meticulous effort, respecting the practice, taking care with every moment, so that we can develop the samadhi khanda, which calms and cleans the mind, and the panya khanda, which cuts off the kilesas. So he urges all of us to value every single second for the benefit of our life. And tomorrow, Seyadoji will talk about practical vipassana. That's all for today.